Our next guest is the national MLB columnist for the Bleacher Report and also Turner Sports. You can hear him on SiriusXM MLB Network. Scott Miller joins us on Overdrive. How are you, Scott?
Pretty good. Waiting for opening day, such as it is, hoping we get there.
We are all hoping. And in the meantime, the fact that my Twitter feed is not completely flooded with testing and testing issues in baseball, I guess, makes it a good day? Can I say at least that?
Step in the right direction, right? No question about it. I mean, it's certainly been a bumpy start. There are a couple issues here. One, we're in a completely unprecedented situation. So by definition, you figure whatever the situation is, when it's unprecedented, there are going to be some unexpected surprises and some kinks to work out. So where that's concerned, I'm not shocked that COVID-19 testing baseball's doing has gotten off to a rocky start. Second point is they've got to get it right, and they've got to get it right like ASAP, if not yesterday, because obviously while we're in an unprecedented situation, as I said, and so there's going to be a couple of missteps. The thing that makes it difficult is, you know, without over-dramatizing, this also could be a life and death situation, because if they screw up somebody's test and that person tests positive and he spread it to a few more members of the team, and then who knows, they spread it to somebody in their family. I mean, you know, that happens and there's a death, then, you know, baseball's never going to live that down. So they've got to figure this out.
And so, I guess, do they just kind of take it day by day, just keep trying to clean it up and calm fears and tighten protocols and then get their guys to the point where they're ready to go on opening day? Is that just kind of the game plan for the next couple of weeks for baseball?
Well, you know, supposedly baseball is trying to find a second lab to do tests. And I think more than working on just simply calming fears of players, they ought to be spending their time and energy finding that second lab. The one they're working with now is Utah-based sports medicine research and testing laboratories, as I say, in Utah. But the fact that they have not been able to turn tests around as fast as they've promised clubs, the fact that, what was it, on Sunday or Monday, the Washington Nationals, Houston Astros, and St. Louis Cardinals, I think on Monday, all canceled their workouts because they weren't getting tests back in time. And then yesterday, the Cubs and the Angels pushed their workouts back from the early morning to later afternoon because their tests weren't back. That's 5-6 teams we're talking about right now. Granted, one of the excuses was 4th of July weekend, and, you know, so some testing sites were a little bit off schedule. But you can't have that excuse. You can't say, well, it was the 4th of July weekend, so, you know, hey, Washington Nationals, we know your players got tested on Friday, and results were supposed to be back by Saturday or Sunday, and here it is Monday, 72 hours later, and we still don't know. I mean, you can't keep putting players out on the field unless, you know, you do what you promised and you get the results back in a timely fashion. So if that takes getting a second laboratory to do it, then baseball's going to have to go down that road.
Scott Miller from the Bleacher Report and also Turner Sports joining us on Overdrive. And I know your interaction with players and coaches is probably not what it normally would be like, but what is the confidence level from the teams that you have talked to in regards to actually getting the season off and running on the date that Major League Baseball wants to? And also, how do those teams feel that they can actually play at the level where, you know, the integrity is still maintained?
I'm surprised a little bit that teams have jumped into simulated games so quickly. I mean, they just started workouts Friday, Saturday, and here it is Wednesday. There's some teams already doing simulated workouts. So, you know, I mean, I think within the game, those in uniform, you know, they're accustomed to having dates that they work toward, whether it's the first day of spring training, the first exhibition games of the spring, opening day, whatever it is. You give a baseball player and a manager and a coach a schedule and say, here's when opening day is, they immediately begin to work toward that, you know, by, you know, working backwards, you know. And so that's what everybody's doing. So there's no question that, you know, that people are, that everybody's planning on, or, you know, baseball's going to start July 23rd, 24th. Now, I think if you talk to players, different people have different confidence levels. I mean, Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the defending world champion Washington Nationals, was pretty outspoken on Monday, saying this, they've got to clean this up. We can't have this. You know, Sean Doolittle, his, you know, the closer for the Nationals, has been out there on social media saying, you know, basically that, you know, you can't have sports unless you have a functioning society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, that's a pretty both harsh and straightforward comment. And, you know, if tests aren't being delivered on time and you can't get enough equipped personal protective equipment for players, which has been another complaint, then, you know, there's no guarantee the season will start. I think the short answer to your question is overall, people are planning on a season, but I think it's cautious optimism. And I think there's a pretty good percentage of players and coaches out there, whatever the percentage is, whether it's 20% or 40%. But let's just say, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to parse things too much and say more than half or anything like that. I'll just say there's a percentage, and it's not one, it's a sizable percentage out there that, you know, basically are, you know, kind of like, I'll believe the season starts when I see it kind of attitude.
Let's see what we get there. And that's kind of where we are with the Jays, because we're wondering what they will look like, this young team with all these young, talented positional players, where they're going to play. And maybe this little 60-game sprint gives them a better chance than they otherwise would have, because, you know, they are so young that they can get hot for the right amount of time. What is kind of the national perspective about what the Jays might be able to do this year if they play this 60-game schedule?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think for the young and talented teams, as you mentioned, and certainly Toronto is one of them, I think there should be some optimism. I really do, because a couple of reasons. One, as you said just now, you know, if any team that gets on a hot streak, you have a 2 or 3 week hot streak, you've got a great chance. That's number one. Number two, you know, these young teams that, normally, there's a growing process, right, for young teams, young talented teams. And part of that growing process is the first couple years in the league, they have to get used to the grind of a major league season. That's always the thing, right? Minor league seasons are shorter. You know, you know, the guys like you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, you know, they had never played a 162-game season. They've got to get used to that. Well, what you have now with 60 games is it's more like a college season, and everybody's played that, you know, or something similar in the minors. So, you know, that typical fade, and they're called the dog days of August for a reason. That typical fade after the All-Star break where the season begins to catch up, the fatigue hits some of these younger players, that's not going to be in effect this year. So I think youth, the 60-game season could be to the advantage of the young teams and the talented teams, because, you know, that's one component that they likely are not going to, it's not going to catch up and bite them this year.
Yeah. The real excitement, at least in Toronto and throughout Canada, is if the MLB season happens, it's the young talent. Now there's a lot of excitement surrounding Austin Martin, who got drafted by the Blue Jays in the first round. He signs today. All reports are that he signs for over his slot value. Normally, a player like that, you wouldn't see him at the major league level for 3 or 4 years. Do you see young players being almost expedited to the major league level now that there is no minor leagues and it's a 60-game season and the rosters are expanded? Can we maybe see a player who was only drafted a year ago or 2 years ago playing a huge role for teams down the stretch?
I think it'll be a case-by-case basis, but I think the odds are better that something like that would happen this year in this short 60-game sprint than otherwise, because, you know, among other things, you know, you have to play that whole service time game if right. You call a kid up for the last 3 weeks of the season. You know, I mean, it's not like the pressure's there to call him up like I remember so well, as I know you do, the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. when he was tearing it up at New Britain. In fact, that Memorial Day weekend, I went to New Britain and did a big story on Vladdy, and a lot of people thought at that point he should have been called up or sometime in the season, and he didn't. And then he didn't get called up. You know, it wasn't until the next season that he got called up. I think situations like that this year, because of the condensed schedule, you know, teams won't necessarily manipulate service time as they have in the past. But secondly, and this is where I think case-by-case basis, you know, take the Blue Jays. If based on partly what we've already talked about, if that young talent plays and surprises people, and all of a sudden it's September 10th and they've got a chance to do something, and you know, Austin Martin down there, you know, not with the taxi squad looking good, you know, you may gamble on a player like that and say, hey, you know what, this is the weird circumstance, but in this particular time and place, you know, he may be able to call up, come up and help us. And like I say, based on a 60-game schedule, you know, a lot of teams I think could find themselves where all of a sudden it's September 10th and they've got a puncher's chance to get into the playoffs and do some damage in the playoffs. So they may gamble on some younger players.
All right, Scott, you touched on Vlady Guerrero. We had a question earlier in the show.
Yes,
and it was like an over-under. And they asked if Vlady Guerrero will get 10 homers in the 60 games. I thought it was a ridiculous question that, of course, he's going to get over 10 homers. Can you side with me, please, over our producer and tell the audience that, yes, that is a terrible question because, of course, he's going to get more than 10.
Oh, man, come on, Mr. Producer. What do you think?
Adam, yeah.
Boy. He's going to get more than 10. That's right.
you let our producer know. I think his name is Al's brother. Don't even ask the question why his name is Al's brother.
All right.
You can give him hell that he even questioned this.
Well, I'm sure Al's brother has quite a bit of talent in many different areas, but maybe predicting Vladdy's homers isn't one of them, I would say. I think with Vladdy's with his swing, as long as he stays on the field, that's always the thing, right? I mean, if all of a sudden he gets hurt and he only plays in 25 games out of 60, then all of a sudden it's different odds. But if he plays in most of the season, because I think a guy like him is going to be streaky too. I mean, you know, he could hit 5 home runs in 1 week, and so I think you know, 10 will definitely come for him.
So this is why we like Scott so much. He's he's definitely on our side.
Smart baseball man. I love it.
Scott, for your sake and also ours, I hope that you're reporting on a sport that's actually playing games a little bit later this month. All the best to you. We thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure, guys. Always fun. And, boy, it's more fun right now talking baseball than, you know, back in May when all we were doing was guessing about what might happen. So take care. Let's everybody stay healthy, and let's hope to see each other at a ballpark sometime soon.
Thank you, Scott. There's Scott Miller, MLB columnist for the Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, and also on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. And also a very smart man because he agreed with us. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hits at least 10 home runs this season.
Al's brother's got a lot of skills. Baseball questions might not be one of them. That's not my opinion. That is our baseball expert's opinion.
Right.
I'm just quoting what was said to me. I'm not making it up.
Al's
brother can chew on that one for a while.
I was kind of leaning him into maybe producing a bit of a drop for the show where he's like, Al's brother's an idiot, but he didn't quite give me that. But anyways.
That's my job.
Yeah, that is your job as well. All right, so the Blue Jays, they had another training session inside the dome, going back and forth from the hotel to the playing field.
When is everyone going to get here? Because they left the one positive test and the people that he was close to down in Florida. That was 5 days ago, around that or so.
Sunday.
Tough to put the days together.
It was Sunday. Sunday night, right?
So Sunday. Today's just Wednesday. So 4 days ago. So he's got to wait another 10 days before all that group can get up here, or maybe the quarantine close contact group can get up here if they've tested negative. I don't know, but if they're important players, you want your group together. There's not a ton of time to have this mini summer training, inter squads, and all the rest of it. You'd like to be able to get everyone on the same page, in the same country, in the same facility. as you prepare to start the season. So that will be something to look forward to, just kind of getting everyone healthy and in the same spot.
Yeah. Charlie Montoya talking to the media today, likes what he sees so far, but also points out they're in shape, just not game playing shape. So they at least are having some workouts in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Will they be playing games in Toronto is the big question right now. And will they be even playing games? We're going to take a break. Overdrive continuing here on TSN 1050, the TSN app, and also on TSN 4.